email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Greg O'Shea, how are you doing?
Good, now yourself. How are you?
Good, good to see you. Thanks for coming in. This is 2 days in a row we've had Love Island contestants. We had Toby from this year's Love Island on.
Yeah, he was over doing his Boohoo event, wasn't he?
That's it, exactly, yeah. So you won it back in 2019.
I did, yeah.
And then you decided to take a step back from all of that Love Island celebrity stuff and play with the Ireland Rugby Sevens in the Olympics,
yeah,
which was supposed to happen last year but happened this year. And now you're back being... What?
that's a big question, man. Yeah, so I won the show 2 years ago, and unfortunately, all the amazing stuff that comes after it, like what Toby was over here doing, all that Boohoo Man stuff, just didn't go with my long-term plan of going to the Olympics.
Yeah.
So I had to just to say no to all that stuff that was getting offered to me and get back here to Ireland, get training, and thank the Lord it paid off. And we got to the Olympics. We went to Tokyo this summer. So it's all been worth it. Do you know what I mean?
And there was not just from everybody else, but you had high expectations, didn't you, in the Olympics?
Yeah, well...
For yourselves.
It was more so us getting there as a programme, do you know what I mean? The Irish Sevens programme, because 5 years ago it wasn't even in existence.
Right.
So to go from there and go through all the different leagues, all the different seasons, and actually qualify for Olympics was huge for us. And unfortunately we didn't perform as well as we could have, but we still came 10th in the world, which is amazing.
Brilliant. Will you explain to people about Sevens rugby and Ireland's place in that?
Yeah, it's a fair enough question. So Sevens rugby is basically what it says in the tin.
Yeah.
You all see your Munster and Leinsters, that's 15 aside. Sevens rugby is 7 aside. It's more entertaining, there's more tries. The games are only 14 minutes long. So I really enjoy it, and it's kind of for the faster fellas. And basically the Sevens programme only got made up about 5 years ago in Ireland, and it's just been flying ever since. Like, we've gone on to the World Series, we've gone to a World Cup, and gone to the Olympics, and there's men and women's side, and it's just a good way of getting...
And would there be people... Obviously there are, because I'm sitting here talking to you, but there'll be people who wouldn't make it onto the 15s who'd make it onto the 7s.
So it's kind of
seen... Is there any crossover?
There's a little bit of a crossover. So it's seen as kind of a developmental step for getting into the Irish 15s team.
Okay.
So you look at people like Shane Daly or Hugo Keenan or Will Connors, all lads like that came through the 7s programme and went back into Leinster or Munster and got into the 15 side of things. So it's seen as a really good way of developing your skills, because you're so exposed on a 7s pitch.
Yeah.
And you have to cover the whole thing with 6 other men.
That's be very fit.
Yeah, oh man, you're basically sprinting for 7 minutes at a time, but it's incredibly fun. Like, and if someone messes up, it's try time. That's why it's so entertaining for the viewer. Do you know what I mean?
And it's not as rough, really, is it?
Well, I don't know, but I'm sitting here across from you with a broken nose.
Yeah, but that didn't come from sevens, did it?
It did, yeah. It came from training in sevens.
Oh, training in sevens. That's worse again.
One of my mates.
So you have a splint on your nose.
I do.
Right. And so one of your mates. Broke your nose.
Yeah, in training, yeah.
Nice,
Harry
nice guy.
I dove to tackle a guy and he kneed me in the face and crushed my skull and broke my nose. And that was 2 years ago now at this stage. But I've just decided to retire from rugby, so it's time to get all these little injuries and ailments fixed up. So hence the surgery.
It's mad. You're sitting in front of me, 26,
yeah.
And using the word retire.
I know, it's weird, isn't it? I didn't really want to retire per se. Like, sevens is the best job in the world. Like, you get to travel the world with your friends, play rugby, but it's just not financially secure as compared to the 15 side.
Okay.
And eventually you just have to kind of be realistic and realise that you can't play it until you're 35 and retire with loads of money in the bank. But it's amazing.
But can you make a living out of it?
No, you can't.
You can't
at all. No, you compare it very similar to the Ga lads in that you have to have a job on the side to fund yourself.
Okay. So it's nearly amateur, is it?
It's professional. You get paid a little bit, but nowhere near enough to live. Like, and it's just the way it is. It's just seen as a developmental kind of a sport in Irish rugby, and that's not bashing it. It's just the way it is. It's seen as more of a...
But surely then if they want us to perform on the world stage, they'll need to pay people more to keep them...
Well, that's probably an argument, is that we have gotten to the top competitions in the world, but we haven't won one of them yet. And
are you playing against people who are paid a lot more than you?
Yeah, so each country kind of decides on themselves.
Yes.
But some guys are able to play sevens full time, where we had to all have like second jobs on the side. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
And it has worked to so far. Like, we've gotten to all the major competitions, but maybe to maybe win one of them, there might have to be a bit more funding to the players. But it is going very well so far on women's and men's.
Okay, it's an opportunity now now, Greg O'Shea, for you to air your ailments. So you have a splint on your nose. That's from a broken nose. So that's one thing. What else did you get done?
So that's kind of the main one, was getting the nose fixed. Yeah. I had two surgeries to do that. And then I might get my skull fixed. That got crushed in, so I might have to fix that one. And then everything else is just kind of, I'm gradually starting to just feel better now that I haven't been getting into contact and training over the last couple of weeks. But I miss it. I miss the training with the lads and I miss the competitive edge. But all good things have to come to an end, you know?
Yeah, at 26.
At 26, yeah. But I've a lot of things in the pipeline now.
Yeah, so yeah. You want to get back. You did 2FM, The Breakfast Show.
I did.
How long did you do it for?
I did that for 10 weeks with Darren Garry and I absolutely loved it. Yeah. Even though it was a really early mornings now, it was great crack. I loved it.
And you do a bit of punditry as well for Joe.ie.
Yeah, so I've just signed up with Joe.ie to do the House of Rugby for the whole season for the URC. So I'm really enjoying that. That's presenting and in rugby space, so I love it.
And you've done 5 out of 8 exams to become a solicitor.
Yeah. So in the lockdown, when we were all stuck at home with stuff to do, I decided, you know, I might as well do some of the FE1s because I have a law degree.
Well, what does that stand for, FU?
FE1s are just the name put on the exams to get into the Law Society of Ireland. Okay. They're ridiculous exams. You have to, even if you get a law degree, you still have to do these exams.
Right.
Kind of like getting into medicine, becoming a doctor. You still have to do loads of exams after. Same with accountancy. So I said I'd do them just to kind of get the qualification under my belt. And in the future, kind of as a backup plan, if I'm going to be a solicitor, then I could be a solicitor. But I don't really want to do that right now. It doesn't excite me, you know.
So you've done 5 out of 8?
5 out of 8. 3 more to do. I've 6 years to do 3 more.
Oh, so. That was my next question. Yeah. So you have those in your back pocket.
That's just kind of like a really Irish mentality. Get the degree, get the qualification, have it in the back pocket in case you need it.
It's solid.
Yeah,
because it means as well that you're not desperate about things. You're more relaxed about if you know that you can fall back on that.
Exactly. Yeah.
So what's the dream?
The dream at the moment, man, is similar enough to what you're doing. I love presenting in media and broadcasting. I've really gotten into that since off the back of Love Island. I got a load of opportunities, as you mentioned there. I did 2FM and I did TV shows and stuff like that. And I get such an adrenaline buzz off it. I don't know if you still get it now after years of doing it.
Of course I do. Yeah.
Being live, it's just such a nice buzz. You know, you're talking to people, and I really have enjoyed that. So getting the gig with Joe.ie is really nice, and hopefully I'll pick another few along the way now that I'm...
And you're in Limerick, are you?
I'm based in Dublin.
No, but you're from Limerick.
I'm a Limerick man, yeah. Limerick man.
And would you consider local radio?
Maybe, yeah.
Just to sort of cut your teeth, so to speak.
Maybe, we'll see what comes along. I'm not going to rush into jumping on the first radio station that comes to me, but I've kind of just different projects as well. I want to get into fitness and also capitalise on all the social media stuff I've gone on at the moment. So different projects going on.
Talk to me a little bit about Love Island and the whole phenomenon. I suppose you could argue that your year was the best year.
A lot of people say that.
Wasn't it? It was peak Love Island.
Yeah, it was kind of hit the apex of that year.
Yeah, because you won, and then Maura Higgins was there as well. And there was just something about it. Yeah. It seemed like everybody was watching it.
That year, 2019, it just seemed to really peak. There was really good characters, you said, Maura Higgins and people like that. And it's just... people really got into the story. There's such good stories developed, and then I happened to come in at the end and win the thing. So it was really, I think Ireland really got behind it because there was myself and Maura on the show. And this year it also was a great show. You were talking to Toby yesterday.
Yeah.
I just don't think the viewership was as high as the year I was on it for some reason.
Like you were getting 6 million in the UK.
Yeah, maybe it was something to do with the Euros being on at the same time as well.
No, the other thing was is that there seems to have been a little bit of a sort of a backlash, has there? People are questioning the whole thing.
I think people are starting to question people's intentions going on the show now, maybe.
Explain that to me.
Yeah. There's a bit of people coming around online saying that people only go on Love Island to get fame and to get money and to get all the deals after it, rather than actually going on for the idea of the show is to find love.
Right.
Which... it is possible. You look at people like Molly and Tommy and you probably don't know who they are, do you?
No. I watched a bit of it. I know Faye because she stood out this year. Yeah.
I'm talking about my year.
Oh, your year. Yes. So I watched a good bit of your year. Yeah.
There's a few couples that it has worked out. And even in the first season of Love Island, some couples are married with children now. So it is...
Right.
The show has worked and the whole idea behind the show does work. But I think because of what's happened off the back of it for other people... there's a question whether around the proper intentions are people are going on for love or they're going on for deals.
Yeah. And you watched it this year. When you watch it now, because you were in there and you know how it works, the sort of the machinations of it, and can you see the manipulation that's going on?
I wouldn't say manipulation.
Right, what word would you use?
To be honest, everything that happens on the show is completely... a person's own autonomy. Like, they're not told to say anything,
okay,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But a producer will come out of a hidden wall or something, and they'll be like, Greg, we want you to, just use the girl's name, yeah, I was on the show with Amber, go over there and get Amber and tell her how you feel about her. So then the producer will leave, and I'll get up then, and you'll see me walk over and go, can I pull you for a chat? And you have a chat. But every word that's coming out of my mouth is my own word.
You may not, right, at that particular time of that particular day, want to have that chat with Amber, but the producer has told you to do it.
Exactly, because you're trying to make a TV show.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I don't understand.
Otherwise, people would be sitting around in a suntan in front of the whole summer.
I understand how it works. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I'm just trying to understand it a little bit better. Yeah. So you and Amber won, right? And then you came out. And then, what sort of, just try and remember that feeling coming out, because you were there and all this was happening.
Yeah.
All these millions of people were watching you.
Yeah.
And they all wanted a bit of you then when you came out.
It was madness, man. Everyone did a piece of me. It was absolutely bizarre. But once I kind of decided what I was doing, that I was coming back to Ireland, I was going back to training, and I kind of went back into the life that I had before, and I was kind of surrounded by friends and family that kind of protected me from all that.
Yeah.
But then obviously all the kind of SH1T hit the fan when the British media came out and said that I, quotation mark, broke up with Amber over text, and I just got killed online by a load of British people. Like, so much hate going towards my friends, my family, and it just was terrible because it wasn't the truth. And eventually my truth came out a couple of months ago. I decided to do an article on it and do an interview on it, and my truth's out there now, but the damage had already been done.
Yeah.
But look, that's just
isn't
the way it is.
Isn't that dangerous enough though, isn't it? Because it doesn't matter how much aftercare there is and how much they support you and how much they tell you that this might happen.
Yeah.
When it happens, you're sort of on your own, aren't you?
You are, man, yeah. And that was kind of a slap of reality when it all started happening. I was like, this is not what I signed up for here. And they tried to warn me. They were like, look, there are a lot of negatives can come from this. And I was like, yeah, it'll kind of be fine. And I kind of tried to pretend like I was the big man. But deep down, it does hurt. Like, when when thousands of people are saying stuff about you, it starts to get at you a little bit. But I kind of just worked my way through the storm, and it's nicely balanced out now. And I think I did what I said I was going to do. I said I was going to go home and go to the Olympics, and I did that.
Yes.
I think people have now bought back into me and realized,
maybe
he's not full of crap. He'd said what he's going to do. Do you know what I mean?
How do you feel then after that experience of, you know, being trolled on social media? How do you feel about that world? Because that's, you live in that world, really.
Yeah.
You depend on it, don't you?
Yeah. I just find it's quite fickle, like, do you know what I mean? If you're not giving people what they want, if you're not following the narrative, then you get shunned. Do you know what I mean? And that's just the way it is, especially over in the UK.
What's the narrative, do you think?
The narrative is, I was supposed to follow what you're supposed to do when you win the show. Is go to the UK, all the events, be the couple, do the deals, like, and stuff like that. And don't get me wrong, I took deals that worked with my training schedule at the time. But it's just people didn't appreciate that I kind of went against the curve and went and stuck with what I was was right to me and what I was doing before the show.
You could understand, because you hear mad figures like getting 20 grand to open a nightclub and stuff like that. Like, that's crazy money, isn't it? For one night's work.
Yeah, it wouldn't be up towards 20 grand now, but it'd be like a couple of grand now to stand outside a nightclub and take photos with kids. Like, you know, it's madness, like, the whole thing. But look, that's
and
for
do,
some
do,
people.
And do you sing or do you DJ?
No, they wouldn't. They just stand there and
do
take photos.
Standard
like,
car to be riding.
You probably should have been getting paid that much, shouldn't you? Yeah. So that's just one route you can take. And who says that's wrong? Like, do you know what I mean? That's great for some people.
Do you think it'll last? Do you think it'll Love Island?
Do you know what? I think the show is so big that it will last. It might need a bit of a rejig somewhere. Like, I don't know. I don't know exactly what it is. Maybe more Irish people in there.
Yeah.
But I think but I think the show has a great idea around it, and it's just such a monster that I don't think it's going
to
stop.
Back to medical matters. So you went and they fixed your nose, and you were told to leave the splint on for, 10 days and not to get it wet. And what did you do?
Yeah. So the first time I got it done, I let it get wet, and the splint came off after a couple of days.
Okay.
So the surgeon was like, well, we're going to have to do it again now, Greg.
Right. So this is, what day are you on now?
So I got a second surgery, and I'm just a week post. So I literally just got a plaster cast taken off yesterday.
Right.
So a plaster cast you'd have on your arm or your leg.
On your face?
On my face. Wow. It wasn't ideal. You can see it on my Instagram if you want. And now I'm in a splint. So.
And final question, are you in a relationship now, Greg O'Shea?
Oh, that's the big question. Do you know what? There is someone that I've been close with over the last while, but the pandemic really got in the way. So we're trying to see how that works out now and then.
Right. That's a very non-committal answer. Yeah. Anyway, great. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having
me. Good luck with whatever you do.
Appreciate it.
That's it from us. Cormac and Sarah on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.